We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we study an extremely precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden here to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, Joseph. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. This is it? The Holy Spirit summarizes Joseph's life from the pit to the throne in one single sentence. If Joseph had written his own biography, it would have looked much different than what the Holy Spirit has written through Stephen. Joseph was going through hell before he ended up in Pharaoh's palace. Just a few examples. All his afflictions. Number one, in the pit. Shocked at the hatred of his own brothers. All night wondering what his brothers would do next. What about the wild animals that were roaming about? What if a lion found him in the pit? How much sleep do you think Joseph got that night, as he wondered what his brothers were going to do to him? Number two, journey into Egypt. How do you think Joseph was treated during that trip? What were his thoughts during that long, long march from the Holy Land into the land of Egypt? Leaving his father, who didn't even know what was happening, wondering if he'd ever see his father again, going from a land of hills and valleys to a desert land. Number three, slave to Potiphar, officer of Pharaoh. He was auctioned off. How was he to know what the future held for him? But he had luck there. God was blessing him. He rose to power, but then he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And you know what happened there. The situation for Joseph was that he was homesick. He was a long way from home, but he withstood the temptation. And then what if Potiphar's wife would be angry? Which she was. Told a lie. And Joseph ended up in prison, number four. But he found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And there were two men there, a butler and a baker, who had dreams. Joseph told them the meaning of their dreams. And then he told the butler, when you're restored to Pharaoh's throne, remember me. But the butler forgot. And so for two more years, Joseph stayed in prison. Number five, Pharaoh's two dreams. That caused the butler to remember, hey, there was a kid down there in the jail that interpreted dreams. So Joseph was called from the prison to the throne. And then the answer, seven good dreams and seven bad dreams, Pharaoh. God has told Pharaoh what he's going to do, and this is what you'd better do. You better store up corn in the good years, because the lean years are coming and you're going to need them. And number six, he was finally exalted. Pharaoh gave Joseph his own ring, which was the authority of the land. Whatever Joseph said, he could stamp it with Pharaoh's ring, and it was done. Joseph's second name was Zaphnapaneah, something like that, which some people say means revealer of secrets. Others say it means the savior of the world. So the question would be, why does the Holy Spirit, and Stephen said these words, we know that. He's giving a witness before the ones that are going to kill him. But he's guided by the Holy Spirit, and why would the Holy Spirit gloss over all of these sufferings of Joseph in one single sentence? Why would he do that? There's an answer to this. This is an important question, and there's an answer to it. And the answer is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 18. So this is the answer. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the Holy Spirit just gives us one sentence about all the sufferings of Joseph and the glory that was his. You look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18, and this verse speaks volumes. We're going to be looking at it, and first of all, let's remember this, that the Romans chapter 8 was inspired by the Holy Spirit, as is all Scripture. But it was written by Paul. Romans chapter 8 was written by Paul. And when the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Old Testament and New Testament, he used the talents and abilities and experiences that these writers had. They weren't zombies, as if they were sitting at a desk and all of a sudden they went into a trance and they woke up a couple minutes or hours later and there was something that the Holy Spirit had used them to write. That's not the way it worked. They had feelings, they had experiences. And so when we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18, we have to remember who it was that said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. These were written by Paul. What do we know about Paul? Well, there's a chapter in the New Testament where Paul confesses that he's going to talk like a fool. He said, I don't usually do this. I've never done it before. But I'm going to play the fool. I'm going to talk like a fool. Oh, why did he say that? Well, he was saying that because there were people who were criticizing him, and they were bragging about how they suffered for the Lord and this, that, and every other thing. And they were self-righteous. They were Pharisees. God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. Or I do this, I do that, and everything else. So Paul said, okay, I'm gonna argue with you on your level. I'm going to be a fool just like you are. So I'm starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And so I'm starting with verse 16. It reads this way. So I say again, let no man think me a fool. But I'm going to be one. I'm going to act like one, even though I'm not. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me. I'm gonna talk to you on your level, so you can understand this. That I may boast myself, well, I'm gonna boast. Now you guys are boasting. God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I'm gonna do some boasting too. I'm gonna sink down to your level and talk like a fool. Okay. that which I speak, well, I'm going to say, I speak not after the Lord. I'm not giving you the Lord's word right now, but I, as it were, foolishly, I'm going to talk like a fool, like you guys are doing, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, they're so proud of the life they're leading and brag to God about it, I'm going to do the same thing. I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly. Anybody that talks that way, you accept them. Seeing you yourself are so wise, you think you are. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Okay, so here he speaks like a fool. Now we're in 2 Corinthians 11 again, beginning at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. You're no better than I am. I've got the same background you do. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. So you guys think you suffered? You think you're so good the way you're living? Listen to this. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. They beat him 5 times. And the rule was you can't beat him more, you can't strike him more than 40 times. So they always stopped one short, lest they would miscount and break the law. Didn't bother them, they were pounding one of God's servants. They just didn't want to do it 41 times. So, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. How many times have you guys had that happen? That's the point. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Which one of you guys have had that happen, you boasters? Which ones? Speak up. In journeyings oft, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen that hated me. That was odd. Most people knew in the VIPs of those days that when Paul, who was then called Saul, went up to Damascus, he went up there to capture Christians, men, women, and children, put them in chains, bring them back to Jerusalem, try them and kill them. That's the kind of person he was. But then he saw that light. The Holy Spirit converted him. And Jesus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he converted him. And changed his name to Paul later on. And Paul was going to go back to Jerusalem and tell what happened. And he thought that everybody would convert to Christ. Because they knew that Paul was an enemy of Jesus, greater than any of them were. And now all of a sudden he was converted. He thought they would listen to me and be converted also. They didn't. They hated him all the more. He's doing the works of the devil. He's in cahoots with the devil, Beelzebub. It all worked there, but he suffered by his own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. The whole world hated Paul. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils among false doctrine, false brethren. He's talking like a fool, but he's doing it on purpose. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside all those things, the ones that are without. Well, what else? That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? This is the love he has for God's people. If I must needs glory, I will glory of these things which concern my infirmities. And then he gives an example. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. I'm not going to boast like a fool anymore. I'm going to stop that. Now I'm going to tell you about my weakness. In Damascus, the governor under Artatas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. He was saved by people that put him in a basket and let him down through a window in the wall. That's weakness. And that's what he's boasting about, not all these other things that he encountered. By the way, the old gray-haired professor told us when he mentioned this that this thing is still there, where Paul was let down through a basket in the wall. He said, you can go there and see that. The hole in the wall is there. The wall's gone, but the hole is still there. That was his way of joking. It was funny. But anyway, this is why Paul was talking as a fool. And so now, getting back to Romans chapter 8, this is the guy. This is the human writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But this is the guy that says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and he suffered a lot, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. This is precious. It's precious to us because of who the Holy Spirit used to write this. Which one of us have suffered all the things that Paul did? He's one of the greatest sufferers there ever has been, and he's saying, everything I went through has been more than worth it because of the glory that God gives me. And he looks upon all the sufferings that he went through as hardly anything. Hardly anything. It gets made better than that. And I've read this before, but this is such an amazing part of Scripture. Continuing through Romans 8, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The animals are waiting for Christ to come back and reveal in with glorified bodies those who are his elect, the very small remnant. The animals are waiting for this. The animals. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, and you know that. When Adam sinned, he did willfully, and the animals didn't do anything wrong, but the whole creation was put under the curse. And so the animals suffer and die too. They were made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So if you've had a pet, and you loved the pet, and you got to know the pet, and the pet was part of your family, and the pet suffered, and it got sick, and it died one way or the other, accident or sickness or old age or whatever, that's nothing compared to what that animal is going to be in the afterlife. With the glorified body, you're going to get your pets back again in a glorified state. That's what this all means. And the sufferings that we see these animals undergo, at the end, they're going to say the same thing Paul did. They're not worthy to be compared to what we get out of it. Glorified bodies back with our owners again. That's the animal creation. It goes deeper than that. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. Now he's talking about the woods, the oceans, the lakes, the streams, the sand, the dirt. The whole creation is groaning and travailing. These are birth pangs. Sentences of birth pangs. They're suffering to be born again. And when that happens, the example is that a mother, when she goes into labor, has pain. But when she holds the child in her arms, the pain is all forgotten. And it was all worth it for how God worked things out and gave her a child. And that's the example here. The whole creation, the fields, everything. It gets better than that. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, and we do. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's dwelling in us right now, but only in a small measure. It's going to get better. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. We don't remember, we don't know that either. We would not know this unless God told us. Every minute, every second of our life, we're groaning and travailing in pain. We would not know that unless God told us. So the answer is not, well, is it reasonable? No, that's not the question. The question is it true? And the answer is, yes, it's true, because God says so. We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So this is the status of the life of every elect child of God. And suffering is part of our calling. Whosoever would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. The cross is an instrument of suffering and death. Take up his cross daily and follow me. And so as we were moving through this world and in suffering, we remember what Paul said, who suffered also in many ways a greater degree than you and I are suffering. And his conclusion was, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and there are many, and they hurt, but they're not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know that Joseph is a type of Jesus. And he went from the pit to the throne. That's your story and mine.